Well, if you have a Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read the chapter together. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. Come, you will see him there. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day, and church even to this day today here in 2020. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Well, Father, we believe that you're here with us right now. Lord, as we consider the revelation of who you are, I pray, Lord, that you would reach out to many on this day. Lord, all the churches that are having to do these creative ideas to get your word out here on Easter morning, we pray, Lord, that your word would go out, that your gospel would be empowered by your very spirit and fill the hearts of many people. Lord, people that have run from you and pushed you away and proclaimed there isn't enough evidence to believe. Lord, I pray that you would get a hold of them, that you'd reach your hand down and lift their chin, reveal yourself to them, and get their attention today, even right now. And for us, Lord, we praise you and thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a little bit about what led up to this amazing event that we celebrate today, the resurrection of Christ. And I would have you remember that from eternity past, God always knew, I guess correctly you'd say, God always knows his set plan for the redemption of mankind. God knew way before he created Adam and Eve in the garden, way before he created an earth, that there would be a need for him as the Savior to come and save mankind from their unbelief and rebellion against him. Then God created man. As C.S. Lewis says, that's what love does. Love gives an opportunity for life. And God created man knowing the cost that it would be upon himself for man. So he created man as a dwelling place of his presence to live by faith. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he created them to live by faith. Now that's pretty heavy to think about, but I think what it'll help do is give us a greater understanding of what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, and they were called to believe him. Matter of fact, what happened is man decided not to believe him. They came up with their own idea that they thought was better. And so man sinned against God and really rooted in unbelief, the doubting of God's word. God said this is good and that's evil. And what Adam and Eve decided that day is, no, this will be good and that'll be evil. And thus sin entered mankind, separated from God. Created as a dwelling place for God to live in, now mankind, separated from God, received the penalty from God of death. God no longer dwelling within them. And then Jesus, well, the Lord himself, Jesus, set up prophecy, God did, to communicate with man his promise of salvation that same day. It will be the seed of the woman that brings the Savior, the virgin birth. And then he set up a whole course of substitute sacrifices for mankind and delivered mankind the law. Meaning this, man, you've decided you're going to decide what's good and bad for you. Well, then I'm going to tell you what's good from my perspective and what's bad from my perspective. And you're going to have to live that, and nobody can. Nobody can live by God's law apart from God doing it in his spirit. And so man was given the substitute sacrifices, the law, prophecy, all to point to his salvation. And then all through the scriptures, we see God partially judging mankind as a call to repentance and faith. God could have just annihilated humanity that very next day. I'm fed up with you. But that's not the heart of God. God's heart is long-suffering towards us. And so he waited, and he brought prophets, and he brought symbols, and he brought the rule of the law to point mankind to the need for a Savior and to faith in the Savior. And then God became a man and lived in that perfect humanity as our Savior. Now that's just the most mysterious thing throughout all of history. And if there's anyone listening today that thinks, that's what I don't believe, you know why? Because it's the greatest mystery ever, that God, our very Creator, chose ahead of time, before he created us, to become like us, to take our debt, to take our guilt and our shame upon himself and save us. God became a man. And then, as that perfect man in our place, he conquered sin and death through the cross and resurrection. Remember, death was God's penalty upon sin. And then God came down as a man and stood in that place of receiving the penalty of death, and then conquered sin and death on the cross and in the resurrection, redeeming man through his own blood, the very blood of God. And through the Savior's death, God offers reconciliation to man, to whoever would believe. There's the faith. And through his life, through his resurrection, God gives eternal life to those who believe. So we don't want to get lost in all the details of how this all came together, and then in that complexity of it, forget that there's a final chapter and the best news ever, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the glorious ending for you and I, that we are included in the life of God through the death and resurrection of Christ. Maybe you have unanswered questions today about social issues, about moral issues, ethical issues, even political issues, for that sake. But I can't imagine why anyone, because of the questions that we don't have answered, would continue in unbelief when the evidence of the life of God in Christ is so evident. We have our faith that we hold to. We have the living hope through resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And to cast off my faith, to lose hope because of a question that isn't answered for me, well, that would be a huge mistake. And so as we read through, and as we just read through Matthew chapter 28, it's clear that the culmination of everything is the hope of resurrection. It's not just an idea, a fanciful idea, to assuage the guilt of sin or death, the fear of death, but it's the solid foundation of our Christian faith. Jesus had it. Jesus had the hope of resurrection. He told his disciples that the revealed Messiah would come, die on the cross, and raise from the dead. He never taught about himself being the Messiah without those two ingredients. Yes, you're right, I'm the Messiah, and I have to go and die on the cross and raise from the dead. And he kept adding more information. I will be betrayed. I will be betrayed to the chief priests, and then they'll give me to the Gentiles. Then I'll suffer and die and raise the third day. That was all the revelation together in one lump of Jesus being the Messiah. He lived his life in that hope of the resurrection, embracing the cross and the resurrection. He taught us the same. If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And the scriptures teach us in Romans 12 that Jesus was able to look past the cross before the cross. He looked past the cross and saw the joy of resurrection life with the Father. And that allowed him, as a man, to endure the cross, despising the shame because of the joy of resurrection. Jesus had it, the hope of resurrection. The disciples found it. They didn't understand it. As he's revealing to them that he's got to go to Jerusalem and die, Peter even responds and says, never. I'll never let that happen. And Jesus had to rebuke him because he wasn't concerned with the things of God, but of man. And he continued to reveal that to where some of the passages said that they were filled with great sorrow as Jesus would talk about this. But then saying this, but they did not understand what he meant. Luke 18, verse 31 through 34, they understood none of these things, Luke tells us. So they didn't understand it, but they remembered what he taught them at the resurrection. Right here, as we read in Matthew 28, it says, the angel said, remember what he said to you? Luke 24, in his account, verses 6 through 8, says, don't you remember what he said? The angel says to the women, don't you remember what he said? That he'd be betrayed and suffer and die and then be raised the third day? And it says, and then they remembered his words. And then they ran to tell the disciples. And as on the way, they personally met the risen Lord. Later on in Luke's gospel, when Jesus is appearing there in the upper room, it says that he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. I love that. They remembered the promise of resurrection. And then they declared it. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, I declared to you what I also received, the gospel of the risen Lord Jesus. And so Jesus had the hope of the resurrection, taught it to his disciples. The disciples didn't understand it. They remembered it. They found it and declared it. And we're to find it. We're to find the hope of the resurrection and keep it. It has been declared to us who have not seen. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Later on in that chapter, this is the victory in Christ over sin and death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that living hope of the resurrection. We want to learn to see past our sorrows. We want to learn to look past our trials and see the promises of God given to us in the resurrection of Christ. You see, faith is the only reasonable response. Think about that. When you look at the evidence that God gives us of the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the ages, as we just quickly rehearsed, for thousands of years, God spoke to us of the coming Messiah, and then he came and conquered sin and death for us. The only reasonable response is faith. I want to look at a few of the things that Jesus said after he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, we read it. He told the women, rejoice. And as they held his feet and worshiped, he said, do not be afraid. Meaning they were still afraid as they were just trembling there and worshiping him at his feet. He said, don't be afraid. Go and tell the disciples. Later on, like we read, it says that they worshiped him when he appeared to them later in Galilee, but some still doubted. And then he ends that chapter, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, it says that they were alarmed when they came to the tomb. They were troubled. Same word used concerning Jesus at Gethsemane. He says, I am troubled. That's when he sweat blood as he was facing the cross. And these women at the tomb, they're troubled, they're alarmed. And the angel says, don't be alarmed, don't be troubled, don't be worried or overwhelmed or perplexed. No longer was that to be the response. Jesus has risen from the dead. That was the response that the cross brought. And then later on in Mark 16, verse 8, it says that they trembled and were amazed as they tried to hold this in their mind that Jesus had risen from the dead. The idea is that Jesus blew their minds as he was showing up there in the room with the disciples. They were just blown away. They didn't know what to do. Interesting, Mary testifies to them. And it says that they did not believe her testimony. Listen, then later on in the chapter, verse 13, the disciples from the road to Emmaus that's recorded in Luke came in to the upper room there and told the disciples they had met the risen Lord on the road. And it says, and they didn't believe them either. Interesting. And then the next verse, chapter 16 of Mark, verse 14, Jesus shows up in the room and rebukes their unbelief and hardness of heart because they didn't believe the testimonies of those that had already seen him. I want you to remember that. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 36, again to the women, to the disciples, he says, peace to you. And they were terrified and frightened. And Jesus responds to that and says, why are you troubled and why did doubts arise in your hearts? Jesus showed up, risen from the dead. He says, I have peace from God for you, the very peace of God for you. And they're trembling and terrified and frightened. And Jesus asks that question, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? You see, that idea of being excited wasn't helping them to come to faith. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, peace be to you, he says there in verse 19. And as they're looking at him in the upper room and they're just amazed, he says it again peace be to you. But in John's gospel, Thomas wasn't there with them that night. That's what John tells us. And Thomas's response later when they tell them they had met the risen Lord was, I'm not going to believe unless I can see him and even place my fingers in his wounds, in his hand, and in his side. 8 days later, they're with Thomas in the room. John chapter 20, verse 26. Jesus shows up. This is a week and a day later. And guess what? Jesus says, peace to you. And Thomas is blown away. And Jesus tells Thomas, don't be unbelieving, but believing, Thomas. He says, now you believe because you saw me, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The evidence of God all through history, culminating in this one event, our great salvation in the resurrection of Christ. And he's saying, I give you my peace, and I would expect you to believe. It's the only reasonable response. Well, I want to continue in worship, and we'll have the band lead us in a couple more songs, and then we'll continue on in the Word. Beautiful. Such a privilege to have you guys lead in worship this morning. So Jesus responding after he had risen from the dead, showing himself to his disciples. Now, he didn't have to do that, right? He didn't have to show anything. He had promised he would raise from the dead. He had risen from the dead. But he went on to appear to them and to say, rejoice, peace be to you. Do not be afraid. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Do not be unbelieving, but believing. All these things, along with teachings and instructions. 2 things stand out to me. Peace and faith. He gives us his peace and he calls us to faith. You see, there's no reason to fear. And so that amazement they had, the trembling, the excitement and all of that, that wasn't going to save them. That wasn't valued by the Lord and held on to. He didn't come to them and say, now don't forget this feeling you're having. None of that. He would actually say, don't let that distract you. Don't be troubled. Don't be alarmed. Don't be dismayed. He said, why? In the middle of that experience are doubts arising in your hearts. So peace and faith. Faith is the only reasonable response to what the Lord has done for us. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, the entire book ends with that last word of Jesus. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's us. Today, he is always with us. You are never alone. Are you troubled? Are you alarmed? Do doubts arise in your heart? Where does that come from? You know, when you think about it, where does it come from? Listen, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from a lack of awareness of the presence of the risen Christ in your life today. That's where those doubts arise from. A lack of awareness of the life of Christ with you and in you today. An awareness of his presence today will actually free you from that trouble, from that alarm, and from that doubt, because he gives you his peace. God himself, the Lord Jesus, gives you his peace. Listen, in believing, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. To believe is the only reasonable response. For you and I today, this is the issue that must be settled: faith. It's not whether Jesus rose from the dead, by the way. That's not what needs to be resolved. He rose. He is risen. Amen? He is risen indeed. What needs to be resolved is whether or not you partake of his life by faith. Faith is the design of God for us to access all of his power, all of his mercy and grace, all of his peace and joy. Accessing his living hope that does not disappoint because of the Holy Spirit in your life. Faith is the access. Imagine if you were going into a very important meeting where you were sitting in the hot seat. This is it. You're showing up. The meeting's all about you, and you have to answer to very powerful, influential people. High-ranking officials, and you are without rank. And you walk into that meeting alone, and you are therefore, because you're just alone, are scrutinized, judged because you have no rank, questioned, challenged, and possibly even discredited. Or you walk into the meeting with Jesus, you and Jesus as a team, right? You walk into the meeting like that, and because you're with Jesus, all the interaction revolves around him. Any questions that are asked of you are asked in light of his authority. Any challenges are ultimately directed towards him because of his greater authority, and you're with Jesus. And here's the miracle and the peace, the confidence, is the Lord himself said, and if you're in that place, it's okay. Don't you worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to speak for you. He didn't just record that once in scripture for us. That's in Matthew 10, Mark 13, Luke 12. Do not worry about how you will answer, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Believer, what's coming your way? What's troubling you right around the corner, or that you're facing right now? Even right now? Are you facing it alone in your heart and mind? Or by faith, in believing, are you experiencing his joy and his peace, resting, knowing that he will be faithful as your Savior to you? Belief. Belief in Jesus Christ is the only reasonable response. Or you can doubt him. You can doubt whether the experience is real for those who share Jesus with you. And you can continue in doubt and discredit those whose lives have been changed by him, rejecting the evidence of the life of God, opposing his authority and his word, even accusing him, refusing to acknowledge that he's in the room right now. But I highly recommend that you respond in faith, because he is risen and he is here, standing in our midst, moving in our midst today. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Lord, you haven't given us a complex message, Lord, that needs brilliance to go find. You've told us in your word that it's not that we had to go climb over the mountains to find you or to find a way up to heaven, but that your word is near in our hearts. Lord, your message is this, that you have conquered sin and death for us so that we can have life in you. And you call us to simply, as you always have, Lord, you call us to simply believe you. And so, Lord, we want to be lifted up this morning in our faith. We want to believe that you are here in our midst. We know that you are. So help our unbelief. Lord, cause us to come into a greater understanding of that which you give us in your salvation. In Jesus' name. Let's have one more worship song, shall we? Well, Father, thank you, Lord, for your witness to us. Lord, your promises that you make to us. That you have declared that we partake of your life, all your promises in Christ. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.